time, fellowship. All right. This morning, the text for the Christmas message is taken from Matthew chapter 1 and chapter 2. I've been preaching from this gospel. I felt that maybe it's more appropriate to just also extract the Christmas story and message from this two chapter. All right, I shall read these two chapters. Gospel of Matthew chapter 1, starting from verse 1. The book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham begot Isaac, Isaac begot Jacob, and Jacob begot Judah and his brother. Judah begot Peres and Jerah by Tamar. Peres begot Hezron, and Hezron begot Ram. Ram begot Amminadab, Amminadab begot Nahshon, and Nahshon begot Salmon. Salmon begot Boaz by Rahab, and Boaz begot Obed by Ruth, and Obed begot Jesse, and Jesse begot David the king. David the king begot Solomon by her, who had been the wife of Uriah. Solomon begot Rehoboam, Rehoboam begot Abijah, and Abijah begot Asa, Asa begot Jehoshaphat, Jehoshaphat begot Joram, and Joram begot Uzziah, and Uzziah begot Jotham, Jotham begot Ahaz, Ahaz begot Hezekiah, Hezekiah begot Manasseh, Manasseh begot Amon, Amon begot Josiah, Josiah begot Jeconiah and his brother about the time they were carried away to the Babylon. And after they were brought to Babylon, Jeconiah begot Shethiah, Shethiah begot Jerubbabel, Jerubbabel begot Abud, Abud begot Eliakim, Eliakim begot Azok, Azok begot Zodak, Zodak begot Achim. And Achim begot Eliud, and Eliud begot Elisha, Elisha begot Matan, and Matan begot Jacob, and Jacob begot Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is Christ. So all the generation from Abraham to David are 14 generations, from David until the captivity in Babylon are 14 generations, and from the captivity in Babylon until Christ are 14 generations. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with a child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about this thing, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sin. And all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife, and did not know her until she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Now after Joseph was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and the scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. And they said to him, In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, For you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had secretly called his wise men, determined from them that what time the star appeared, and he sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go and search carefully for the young child, and when you have found him, bring back word to me that I may come and worship him also. When they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasure, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way. Now, when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, "Arise, take the young child and his mother, flee to Egypt, and stay there until I bring you word, for Herod will seek your young child to destroy him." When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed for Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord through the prophet, saying, "Out of Egypt I call my son." Then Herod, when he saw that he was deceived by the wise men, was exceedingly angry, and he sent forth and put to death all male children who were born in Bethlehem and in all its district from 2 years and under, according to the time which he had determined from the wise men. Then was fulfilled which was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, "A voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation, weeping, and great mourning. Rachel weeping for her children, refusing to be comforted because they are no more." Now when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, "Arise, take the young child and his mother, and go to the land of Egypt, for those who sought the young child's life are dead." Then he arose, took the young child and his mother, and came to the land of Israel. Verse 22, "But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning over Judea instead of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there, and being warned by God in a dream, he turned aside into the region of Galilee, and he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, 'He shall be called a Nazarene.'" That ends the reading. Father, we thank you once again for this Christmas story. So we come in the mighty name of your Son Jesus to ask the Holy Spirit to illuminate these words to us and cause us to have understanding of this word. And during this festive season, Lord, let us refocus back upon you and instead of the many worldly things that are out there. So I pray, Holy Spirit, come and anoint my lips to speak in a very powerful way that your people may hear and may grow in your word and come to into full maturity in Christ Jesus. Lord, so I ask that your word will touch life and that it will bring forth salvation in mankind. In the name of your Son Jesus, and God's people say, Amen. Amen. All right, today we commemorate Christmas, which is the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this year, Christmas is a bit special in the sense that it also falls on Sunday. There may be some newcomers who will come here because of Christmas Day, and so we want to especially welcome you. Now, we have also been doing community work in the sense that we have been caroling in the community for the last 2 weeks. And we had 6 sessions over 3 locations in the Ocean Key Shopping Center, in the Coast Supermarket, and also the Bunnings Warehouse. And we actually hope that some of them, because of our caroling in these 3 locations, that they will come to know about this church and they will come to us, to visit us this Sunday. But unfortunately, I don't think there are any one of them. But nonetheless, I would like to share this Christmas story to you for those who are new to Christmas, those who don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Christmas period is a very, very busy period. Everyone is busy shopping and feasting and partying and buying presents. And many start to kind of wind down from work and start to celebrate. The question they want to ask is, why is it that so many of us are so jubilant? And some of you may just come up with a very simple answer, because it's Christmas time, it's holiday season, and we don't have to work. That may be so, but every shopping center also seems to be putting up elaborate decorations and lighting to celebrate this big festive occasion. And also many households and families also seems to be very enthusiastic, and they want to also decorate their homes for this special festive occasion. Now, I recently just engaged a real estate agent, property agent, to sell my house. And in my conversation with him, he said that he was trying to buy items to decorate, to construct a nativity scene in his house in a form of a decoration. For those who are not familiar with this word nativity scene, you may say, what is it all about? It is a scene of the wise men from the east, as you read in the scripture, bringing gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh to worship the Lord Jesus in the manger during his birth. And so my real estate agent said that he went around many shopping centers to look for those items, and to his surprise, he could find none of those things. None of those things. However, he can find many items related to Santa Claus and all the other things. So what does this tell us? And so it looks like the spotlight on Christ, born in a manger, has slowly dissipated away. And instead, the chubby man in the red suit called Santa has taken the prominence among the children. And in almost all major shopping centers, we can see that the children are being attracted to Santa and queuing up to be photographed with him. And they were also drawn to receiving presents from him. So the true meaning of Christmas actually has been slowly eroding away. Now Santa's sleigh has replaced Christ's stable. And Christ is no longer at the center of Christmas. And in fact, the world has turned this into a profit-making commercial venture. We have gone from a season of joy and grace to a season of indulgence and merrymaking. And so what is the real significance of Christmas Day? What is the celebration all about? And to begin with, the word holiday is actually, it comes from the word holy day. And so it is a holy day because a very, very special person, Jesus, was born. So who is Jesus? Why was his birth so significant? What did he come here to do? We just read Matthew chapter 1 to 2, and Matthew chapter 1 verse 21 specifically say that his name shall be called Jesus. And his name tells us about his mission. Now what is his mission? The mission of Jesus. Now in Hebrew, the name Jesus means God is salvation. His mission means his mission is the salvation of mankind. Jesus is God, and he put on humanity, and he came to earth 2,000 years ago to be with us. That is why we have the word Emmanuel, God with us. And verse 21 says that he came to save humanity from their sin. Now some people may ask, what do you mean by save humanity from their sin? Now when we look at the world around us today, we will notice that something has gone very wrong with humanity. Why must men die? Why is there sickness, there's hatred, there's war, and there's so much terrorism? There's murder, hideous crime, there's greed, there is strife. There is a lust for something, but yet not being satisfied by those things. There is exploitation, there's suffering, there's evil, there's violence, there's witchcraft, there's idolatry, there's conflict, there's betrayal, there's a corruption in the society, there's addiction to all kinds of things like drugs, alcohol, so on and so forth. Now, evil seems to have a grip over humanity. And man thought that the solution perhaps lies in education. And so after trying out education for a few hundred years, the evil condition of mankind and society have not changed at all. And perhaps they thought the solution is in the rehabilitation program, in turning a person to a new leaf. They tried many times over, but still it is not the answer. And they thought perhaps it's in the form of government and the leadership. And so they try out with the many system, the communism and the democratic system, and trying out all these different forms of government and leadership, the evil conditions of mankind has still remained the same. So in fact, the people now have tried out democratic leadership for a few hundred years and have come to realize that the political establishment have also not done their job, and there is a move towards populism. Now, all kinds of human effort will be futile because they have not acknowledged the root problem. And we shall ask, what is the root problem? The root problem is the sinful nature of fallen mankind. Man sinned because of his sinful nature. And sin is like a spiritual cancer that infested the whole of humanity. And for this purpose, Jesus has come to save us from our sin, to save us from the consequences of this spiritual cancer called sin. Because sin has consequences and is deadly. And because of sin, all these things came about. And because the first created men and women of humanity, Adam and Eve, fell into the temptation of Satan, the devil,
And Satan is the originator of all sin and evil. And through Adam and Eve's fall, sin and evil enter and infected humanity. And so this sinful nature is then passed down from generation to generation. And the whole of humanity then became what they call messed up. And therefore the present world come under the sway of the evil one, the devil. And all were taken captive by the devil with no hope and no future, all destined for damnation after death. What is God's solution to this problem? Jesus. And God had to become man to be the Savior and the Messiah of the world. He had to be born of a virgin birth so that he can be born sinless. And Jesus then later had to die on the cross to pay the penalty for the sins of humanity. The sinless dying for the sinful to satisfy the justice of God. And after Jesus died, he was resurrected with a glorified body. And through Jesus' death and resurrection, he has brought forth a new creation. So that anyone who believes in what Jesus had done for them on the cross can be born again to receive this new life, this new creation in Christ Jesus in us. That is what you read in John chapter 3. You shall be born again. And when we die, our old sinful nature and body is going to be totally done away with. However, we have a new life, a new creation inside us that will be resurrected one day with a new glorified body that is sinless in the future. And the dead shall live again. It will be a new humanity that is totally sinless and not capable of sinning. And therefore, the answer is not rehabilitation, but regeneration. To be born again. To bring forth a new creation in Christ Jesus. To undo sin. And God offers us, Jesus offers us, the eternal life. And a future eternal kingdom. Where there is no sin, no sickness, no death, no evil. It is a kingdom of light, of everlasting righteousness, love, joy, and peace. Then therefore, we sing many Christmas carols to celebrate this happy occasion. Joy to the world. The Lord is come. Let the earth receive the King. Let every heart prepare Him room. And heaven and nature sing. Now Jesus is not, the birth is not a random thing. God has foreplanned and He has foretold of the coming Messiah in the Bible prophecy. And then this leads me to my second point. Jesus' birth was a fulfillment of the many Old Testament prophecy. And God, through the different human author, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, revealed the future event in details in the Bible. And so the fulfillment of this, all this prophecy in the scripture make the Bible so special. And it's many, many classes above all the other religion. And most of us have probably heard of the birth of Jesus Christ. But what some may not realize, that His birth was a fulfillment of the many prophecies in the Old Testament that was prophesied between at least 1,500 years before Christ. And some up to 400 years before Christ. It would be very difficult to predict something 1 year away from now, let alone 400 to 1,500 years before. And furthermore, all the various prophecies were 100% fulfilled in detail accuracy. And so the prophecies speak about the timing, about the location, and the circumstances of Jesus' birth. Who but only God alone could plan out such things? Now, since there are 100 over prophecy regarding Jesus' birth, I cannot obviously go through all of them, but today I will just focus and confine myself to 5 major prophecy regarding His birth and childhood in Matthew chapter 1 to chapter 2, even though there are more than 5 in these 2 chapters. The first one pertains to Jesus' lineage. The lineage of Jesus. Now in Genesis chapter 12, there was a promise by God to Abraham. He cut a covenant with him. He says that in you or through you, all the families and the nations of the earth shall be blessed through this Messiah. And so therefore, the lineage of Jesus must come through the father of faith, Abraham. And it was fulfilled, as shown in the scripture. And not only he is coming through Abraham, he must come through Isaac. Because Abraham has got two sons, Isaac and Ishmael. But out of them, one is born out of human ingenuity, out of human flesh. And only Isaac is a promised son. And so the Messiah must come through the promised son, Isaac. And then the third thing is, he must of the lineage of Jacob. Because there was a prophecy in Numbers chapter 24, verse 17. It says, a star shall come out of Jacob. And the star refers to Jesus. And he says, a scepter shall arise out of Israel. And so, even though Isaac has got two sons, Jacob and Esau, but the Messiah must come through the lineage of Jacob. And so, God of Trinity become a God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And this was fulfilled. And then the next thing, there was prophecy that Jesus also must come from the royal lineage of King David. And because 2 Samuel chapter 7, God promised David, he said that I'm going to give you a son that will establish an eternal throne. And so, Jesse has got 8 sons, and out of which one of them was David, King David. He became the king. And so, the Messiah, Jesus, must come through King David. There are many other scriptures talk about the royalty lineage, but I will not take too much time to go through them. So, again, the Gospel of Matthew take the trouble to trace the genealogy to show how Jesus also came through the royal lineage of King David of Israel. Now, the third prophecy pertains to the type of his birth. He must be born of the virgin birth. Isaiah chapter 7 verse 14, he says, therefore, the Lord shall give you a sign. And he said, behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, God with us. Now, a virgin can never conceive. But this is supernatural. Matthew says that before Mary had any sexual relationship with Joseph, she conceived a child of the Holy Spirit. And her pregnancy was supernatural. And therefore, Jesus was born of a virgin birth. Very important, because in this very special and unique pregnancy, Jesus' blood was not from a sinful man, but was inherited from God the Heavenly Father. And because of this virgin birth, Jesus can and could be born sinless. Then this was so that Jesus, the sinless one, could later die for the sinful to atone for the sin of humanity. And that was fulfilled. And then the fourth prophecy pertains to Jesus' place of birth. And Micah chapter 5 verse 2 prophesies that the king of everlasting, the king of eternity, would be born in Bethlehem. And when the fullness of time came, Joseph and Mary were actually living in Nazareth, not Bethlehem. Now, how could this prophecy of being born in Bethlehem be fulfilled? It's very simple for God. Because there's a verse in the Bible says, in Proverbs 21, verse 1 says, that the heart of the king is in the hands of the Lord. And like the rivers of water, he returns it wherever God wants and wherever God wishes. And so, God can put things in the hearts of kings even. And therefore, just before Jesus was due to be born, there was a Roman emperor and colonial master over empire and over Israel. And he wanted to increase his tax revenue. And therefore, he called for a censor. And as a result of the censor, everybody was required to go back to their ancestor town, hometown, for the census to be taken. And because Joseph's ancestor was King David, who came from the hometown of Bethlehem, Joseph had to go to Bethlehem to register for the censor, even though they were living in Nazareth, which is a long way from Bethlehem. And so when Joseph and Mary came to the town of Bethlehem, And Mary began to labor. And during that emergency, she gave birth to Jesus in Bethlehem in a manger. And so God orchestrated for this to be fulfilled according to His word. And the fifth prophecy pertains to Jesus' place of refuge in Egypt. And during Jesus' birth, the wise men from the east saw the appearance of a very special star. And they were taught that this was a sign, this was a special sign that the Savior King of the world was born. And so they followed the star and they came to Jerusalem. And then they spoke to King Herod. He says, where about this new king born that we saw through the stars? And this king, of course, Herod doesn't know anything. He did not know. And so he asked those religious authority. And so the chief priests and the scribe and the religious authority checked the Bible. And he said, the Bible says that he was to be born in Bethlehem. And so King Herod now felt threatened by this news. That one day this newborn king would eventually take over his throne. And so he told these wise men that once they had located the whereabout of this newborn king Jesus in Bethlehem, he said, come back and tell me that I might go there and worship him. But of course, in his heart, he wanted to slay the newborn king before he can eventually become the king. And so, but the wise men, the entourage, did not heed King Herod. And so they did not return to inform King Herod. And so the king decreed that all children under two to be Mexico in Bethlehem. And then God, angels appeared to Joseph to warn him to flee to Egypt and to be there to take refuge there. And therefore Jesus escaped to Mexico and had to live his early childhood in Egypt for a few years. Until such time that his family was called out of Egypt by the angels to return to Israel again, thus fulfilling the prophecy of Hosea chapter 11 verse 1, out of Egypt I call my son. So the final point is this: in this Christmas story, Jesus is real, but Santa Claus is fictitious. There's no such thing as Santa Claus in the Christmas story. Jesus is a real person who has lived on earth, but Santa is fictitious, not real. Santa Claus is only a figment of man's imagination, a make-believe figure. He's like a character, Mickey Mouse or Winnie the Pooh. And Jesus is not a myth, not a legend, not an imaginary person. And yet through world marketing and commercialization, most people of the world now seems to be deceived to think that Jesus is a myth and Santa is real. This is a ploy of the evil one. It is not coincidental that the letters in the word Santa and the word Satan are all the same, except for the sequence of the letter N. And so historical record has shown that Jesus is a real person. And you say, show me a proof that he's a real person. One obvious proof is our calendar system. It's already referencing Jesus as a main reference point. We are year 2016. That means 2016 years after Christ. Next year, 2017. 2017 after Christ. Every one of you, whether you like it or not, every day, every second, every minute, you are referencing Christ. The day that you're born, you're referencing Christ. And therefore, Jesus is real person. A second proof is the Bible also takes special care to prove that Jesus is real by tracing the genealogy from Adam through to Abraham, through to King David, and then to Mary, Joseph, and Mary. You read it in Matthew chapter 1. You can read it also in Luke chapter 3. The importance of genealogy records should not be underestimated. And let me tell you a short story. Many years ago, there were missionaries from this organization called Wycliffe Bible Translator. They tried to reach out to a tribal people in the remote village who have not heard the gospel. And they shared the gospel with them for so many years with this particular tribe. But it was of no avail. And so they persevered 10 over years. And eventually they translated the Bible into the tribal language. And after the tribal chief read Matthew chapter 1 and Luke chapter 3 about the genealogy of Christ, he said, are you trying to tell me that this Jesus that you have been telling me for 10 years was a real person? The translator replied, yes, of course. He said, I thought you were telling us a story about some mystical character. And so once the tribal chief came to know and understand that Christ was a real person, he and the whole tribe came to Christ shortly thereafter. And perhaps that is what the world tried to very subtly do about this character, trying to promote the make-believe center as real, and at the same time let Jesus fade behind progressively, and then at the end they think Jesus is a myth. In conclusion, after sharing with you what Christmas is all about, who Jesus is and his mission, how Jesus' birth was a fulfillment of many Bible prophecy, that Jesus is real and center is fictitious in the Christmas story, it is a time of consideration. And for those who have not known Jesus Christ, God is urging you to consider him, to make a decision about him, about Jesus. And this will be the most important decision in your life. Do you believe and you want to receive the Lord Jesus, the Son of God, as your Lord and Savior? And either you believe him or you reject him. There's no middle ground. Either you end up in God's kingdom of heaven or in the devil's domain of hellfire. This decision that you make will decide. It will be the most important decision in your life. So can I get the musicians to come forward to lead us with the enclosing song? So if anyone who has not known Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and if you want to receive him today, please come forward while we sing the enclosing song. May you respond to this good news of Christmas. That is the reason why we celebrate Christmas. Not because of Santa, not because of the presents that we receive, but the greatest present that you can ever receive, the greatest present that you ever need in your life is Jesus. And so the Lord bless you all. And I once again wish everyone a very blessed Christmas and a happy new year. God bless you. Thank you. Shall we stand for the enclosing song? Thank you.
Sing choirs of angels, sing in exaltation, sing.